Father, we thank you for your word today and for this opportunity to come and for the one or two or however many came out. And we know about the weather and how that affects us and others, and that's fine. And, you know, we thank you for being here and for being allowed to study this word. And we're going to move forward as you have ordained and instructed, Lord, in the book of Revelation. We will be in Revelation 4, starting in verse 5. And we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So in Revelation chapter 4, we move on. John is continuing to describe something that he saw in heaven. And it's an unusual thing to see. And when he say I was in heaven, we got to remember that things in heaven and things on the earth are two different things. So they're not the same. And when he began to describe some of these things, if they're like we try to ascribe earthly meaning to them, which is all we have, but it's something different. So anyway, let's just go on. Verse 5, he says, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Revelation chapter 8, just to kind of see this and how this works, if we go to here in Revelation chapter 8, it speaks of an angel that was given much incense. And this angel stood at an altar, before an altar. And the incense was to be offered with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. The smoke of the incense, spoken of in Revelation 8, was mixed with the prayers of the saints, and it ascended up before God. The angel took the censer, he filled it with fire from the altar, and he cast it into the earth. The results of him casting it into the earth were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And so we're still in 4, but notice that the scene in heaven in Revelation 4:5 did not include an earthquake. It did not. But the scene in Revelation 8, where the angel cast the incense and the prayers of the saints to the earth, it lists an earthquake. The lightnings and thunderings tells us that a storm is imminent, just like this morning. This morning is a very good example of lightnings and thunderings. And in the same way, John's vision is pointing to a coming storm on the earth, such as never before. We still find the Spirit of God and the seven spirits of God before God's throne. And so these thunders and lightning speaks of something that's coming. And, of course, we know that we're studying the book of Revelation and eventually it gets to the tribulation. So we know from our Bibles that that's what it's going to point to. Verse 6 says, and before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. So as John continues his description, he comes to a part just before the throne that was so calm that he called it a sea of glass like crystal. That's what he called it. We have all seen crystal in some form or another. So think of a crystal chandelier. You've seen a crystal chandelier, those beautiful chandeliers. You think, put that in your mind. Think of a crystal chandelier. It's a beautiful piece of workmanship. You know they put a lot of time and effort and money into it. Now take that chandelier and visualize it in the form of a sea. That's a vision. That's what he saw. He saw, I saw what it looked like, a sea of crystal. A sea of crystal. Now, just try to imagine what a sea of crystal would look like, because that's what he saw. And John, he said, when he was explaining these things, he was saying that it was like this. And what I saw was like unto this. because what he saw was so wonderful that our earthly words could not really find a matching word to describe it. So he said it was like this. He said, now that looks like crystal, but it looks like crystal turned into a sea, and it's so calm. So that's his vision. He describes this sea of crystal. It does not mean that his vision was of a sea of water. It doesn't mean that. This was the best description that he could give. He used the word sea. Again, when we hear the word sea, we think of large body of water. The Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, the Asian Ocean, the different oceans. When you say sea, we think of a large body of water. And he used the word sea in order to express the enormity of this thing that he saw and the form that, of it, of what it took. But just because he used the word sea doesn't mean that he was talking about water, which used to always throw me off. That it was, there's a sea in heaven. No, he said it was like a sea of crystal. And so when we read these things, we have to, you know, just know that the man was, he was looking in heaven, and then he's writing back to us on earth. So we kind of have to go with him on this. So this gives the appearance of a peace and a calm before the throne of God. True Christians have peace with God. Now, the four beasts seen in the middle and all around the throne were very unusual in appearance. They had eyes all around them, and the eyes were in the front and in the back. Four beasts. Now, eyes all around them. That's eyes in the front, eyes in the back of them, and all around them, meaning on their sides. And I sat and tried to imagine these beasts, and first time I imagined them in a form of a square, but it can't be a square or a cube because it said all around. So there were eyes in the front, eyes in the back, and eyes all around, meaning there were eyes, you know, in the lateral portions and eyes in both lateral portions. That means that they were covered with eyes. All they had were eyes, not necessarily pairs of eyes like we have two eyes. It says eyes all around. That means eyes. There were just eyes all around these beasts. That's what he saw. And so, okay, that's like, all right. Okay, Lord. Okay, these, all right. Four beasts, eyes all around. They weren't necessarily a cube. They weren't, I don't know, were they circular? See, it's kind of hard to put an earthly definition to this, what he's saying, if the eyes were all around. So, anyway, verse 7, and the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. For it says, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and the rest, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. We're not accustomed to such a sight. Eyes all around the body. Six wings. These different appearances. This is something that we just really haven't seen. There are apparently angelic, these were angelic in nature because they had wings. And those wings, because they had six wings, it resembles the seraphim, which is an order of archangels. Six wings. There's another group called the cherubs or the cherubims, but I believe they have four wings. So these had six wings, and they had eyes all around and about them. So that would put them into the order of angels called seraphim. And the seraphims, generally, they're called the fiery ones, and they would hover above the throne of God, and they were protectors of the throne of God. And that these beasts were in front of the throne. Now let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1. This is Ezekiel now. I'm reading this, and we're going to read this probably, possibly the whole chapter, or up to maybe verse 28. So that's the whole chapter. So we're going to spend a little time just reading this. But I want you to see something that he saw, and listen at the wording. Now, verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Shebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God." So this is Ezekiel. He saw visions of God. He saw the heavens opened, and he saw visions of God. "In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Shebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself. And brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color amber out of the midst of the fire." Amber is like an orange kind of fiery color. "Also, out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of the calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass." So you see what he's seeing? These four beasts that had four faces and feet like a calf's feet out of this burning fire that came. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. The wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. Now, this is what he's saying about these. They had four faces. They didn't do this. They had one, two, three, four faces. If they want to go this way, it just went this way. If they want to go this way, they went this way. Or if they want to go forward, they didn't bother turning. They just went whichever direction they were seeing. And these they were seeing simultaneously because it's four faces, so they could see. "As for the likeness of the faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion. And on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox. On the left side, they four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they were every one straight forward, whither the spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightnings." So the appearance was this: burning, fire, lamps, and it was doing this, going up and down, and just doing this, and it was sparkling. This is what he was seeing. This fire that they saw, it was going up and down on these creatures, and it was sparkling as it went up and down. This is his vision in heaven. This is Ezekiel, what he's seeing with these four creatures. "And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning." A flash of lightning, y'all, travels, as we understand it, at the speed of light. A flash of lightning, flash of light, is 186,000 miles per second. Not per hour. 186,000 miles per hour is prohibitive in our state. I don't think we could live. I think the G-forces would disintegrate us or mash us flat.
Yeah.
But per second, like a flash of lightning, that was faster than that. Faster than boom. Faster than that. Faster than any fast that we can probably conceive. But they were traveling at the speed of lightning, of light. They were fast. I mean, you see them there, and it would appear that they disappeared before they were standing in front of you. Because what happened so fast, you just couldn't see the movement. You see them and you go, whoop, wow. Or you see them standing over there under the carport. Then you see them across the street and you go, well, when did they make that transition? They traveled just that fast. And I don't know that our eyes would be able to follow them. You got to slow that down, put it on slow-mo or something, you know. But these are the creatures, heavenly creatures that he saw. He talked about how they moved and their appearance. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creature with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. I know you've heard that song. Ezekiel saw the wheel in the middle of the air. Ezekiel saw the wheel. They were singing it. I'm sure they didn't know what they were talking about when they made that song. But we're talking about angelic beings, angelic creations. When they went up their four sides, and they turned not when they went. There was no turning and looking around like we have to do. As for their rings, they were as high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them, four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. In other words, the life of the living creatures was in these wheels that he's describing. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament, now, the firmament is like the sky. Remember God made in Genesis the firmament, the sky, the firmament. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creatures was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. So over the heads of the living creature was a firmament, and there was a crystal of some type stretched over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings stretched, the one toward the other. Every one had two which cover on this side, and every one had two which cover on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as of noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament, that sky or heaven above their head, that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bowl that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. So we'll go back to Revelation, but just I just wanted to show you another person that had a vision of heaven, which was Ezekiel, and the things that he saw. And he saw four creatures too. And he saw more than what John described to us. But that description in Ezekiel gives us an idea of these angelic creatures, these four creatures, and how they're made. They're the strangest, if I could see them, they would be the strangest looking things that you or I have ever seen, ever. Eyes and four faces and six wings and moving, you know, heaven. And right now, John is talking about that place. And oh, by the way, we're headed that way eventually. And so this is just an appearance of just a few of the inhabitants of heaven. And you know, there's a part of the book that says that there were thousands of 10,000 times 10,000s in heaven. That means it is heavily, heavily populated. It's not just a few. It is heavily populated. I can tell you, just from my own sense of things, that heaven is going to be the most popular place. It's going to be the most exciting place. It's going to be always something to do, always somewhere to go, always someone to visit, always someone to hang with. No sickness, no pain, no anger, no hatred, all of these negative things, no death, no dying. All of these things that we deal with now will be out. There will be none of that. And we'll be surrounded by like kind. And everybody will be happy. And everybody will be friendly. And everybody will want good for you. And everybody will try to give you stuff. And everybody would want you to come with them and want you to go. We want to show and take you and show you. Whoa, let me show you what's happening over here. You need to come with me. Well, let's all go. That's our future home, you know. And so we're just talking about these beasts right now, which is really, in another translation, is living creatures. But the basic word for it is Zoe, which is what we get our word zoo from when they say beast. And so they're using beast, but with six wings, they could be call it anything you want, but okay. You know, moving at the speed of lightning, that's fine. But I can tell you, you know, six wings, one cover here, one cover there, and one flies. Really something else. Now, Isaiah 6, 1 through 3, shows us a picture of another group that I just want to just show it to you real quickly. We won't spend much time there. Isaiah 6, verse 1 through 3. It says in Isaiah 6, 1 through 3, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. That means twain is two. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And so there he's showing us about the seraphim, and once again describing the six wings of the seraphim. Seraph, the word seraph means one. Seraphim is plural. We're not told how many seraphim there are. I know there is at least two, because they use the plural form of seraph, which is seraphim. We know there are at least two, and who knows how many there are. We saw four before the throne of God here, so we know there are at least four. At least they have six wings, so they have the form of seraphim. And so we know at least four, they're before the throne of God. And so only he knows. And anyway, Revelation 4, verse 7 says, so we see the four gospels also in the four beasts. Now let me show you the four gospels. The first beast is described as a lion. Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Lion in the natural is called the King of Beasts, and Jesus is called the King of Kings. The second beast is like a calf or an ox. Jesus came as a servant, just like the ox. He bore our burdens. He carried our sins. Mark describes Jesus as a servant. That's Matthew and Mark. The third angelic being is like a man. Jesus was a man. He is still a man. The Apostle Luke describes him as the Son of Man. The fourth angelic being is like an eagle. Jesus is God. Just like the eagle rules the sky, Jesus rules the heavens and reigns over all things. The Apostle John describes Jesus as the creator of all things. Now, Revelation 4:8. We continue, the four creatures, they call them beasts in the King James, each had six wings, indicating that they were of the angelic order again of seraphim. It's indicated in Isaiah again, 6:1-3. Their eyes are everywhere, seeing every direction simultaneously. So if you can imagine, I bet you know, we used to think our moms and parents might have had eyes in the back of their heads is that, how did they know I was doing this? It's like, they just knew you. But you see, they might say, well, yeah, I got eyes in the back of my head, but that's not true. But these have eyes all over. And they see, from what I can get from this, every direction at one time simultaneously. And so if it's time to go this way or this way, they see that and they go simultaneously. And they never rest. They never rest. They never stop proclaiming. And they never stop saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. They could be singing, holy is the God of the past. They could be singing, holy is the God of the present. Or they could be singing, holy is the God of the future. Or they could be singing, holy is the Father, and holy is the Son, and holy is the Holy Ghost. Whatever it is, they know the nature of the one that they're worshiping. They know that God is holy. Revelation 4:9 says, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, he who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast or they throw their crowns before the throne. And they say it. It's like a chain reaction. It's like a chain reaction. Worship by the four beasts or the four living creatures will prompt the worship by the 24 elders. It's a chain reaction. This worship, as you may notice, seems to center around the throne of God. It's a continual activity. This worship apparently never, ever stops. The four creatures never, ever stop saying, holy, holy, holy to him who is, who was, and who is to come. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, continual. And the 24 elders, when they say it, they would fall down and they would throw their crowns at his feet. This is a continual thing, a continual activity. I've heard people complain. And they say, well, heaven sounds boring since all you're going to do is just float around on clouds and play harps and just worship. It's got to be real boring, they would say. But there's more so much more to heaven, such as have not been overly expanded biblically. I don't think that the Bible, maybe it scratches the surface of this place called heaven. And there's more there, way more than we can imagine that perhaps our little minds could not handle. I gave a brief description just a while ago about the population of heaven. Thousands and ten thousands times ten thousands and thousands of thousands and thousands of thousands. And the voices of those people sounded like the sea. The most exciting environment that one can imagine. The safest, the most loving environment. Imagine surrounded by everyone that is just full of love. They're just full of love. Just loving, just love you, and just no strangers in heaven. They know you. They will know you. When we get home, they'll say, "Hi, Angela. We've been looking for you." You go, "Well, who are you?" Well, you won't. You probably know who it is because you'll be changed. But I mean, we will know, the Bible says, even as we are known. Okay, so it's a good thing. It's truly a win-win situation, beyond win-win situation, beyond win-win. Listen, worship, it should be voluntary and free. No force should be required. Enoch was taken by God into heaven. Elijah was taken up in a chariot of fire. Paul was caught up to the third heaven, and Jesus ascended to heaven. Jesus told his disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Those 24 elders in Revelation 4:10 voluntarily fell down and threw their crowns before the throne of God and gave him glory. Now we will probably have a crown in heaven. But I mean, how proud will we be to wear a crown when Jesus himself is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Our crown is in subjection to his crown. We are in subjection to him. Worship, if it's not voluntarily given from the heart and a heart of appreciation and humility for who God is not real worship. You can't force worship. And if it doesn't come from a heart of appreciation and humility, it's not real worship. You know, you and I have seen folks that have pretended to worship just to try to fit in, and you can pick them out. You could tell that, wow, they're so caught up in the environment here that they haven't made any kind of transfer of worship. It's all right here locally. But it's something that's voluntarily. It just comes up and just comes out. And it goes up to the Father. It goes up to the Son. It goes to the Holy Ghost. Because of who they are. Because of who he is. Revelation 4:11 records the words of worship and adoration sung by the 24 elders around the throne of God. They said, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." And over and over and over, they're just extolling and worshiping him. Over and over. That could get catching after a while. You know, that could get catching after a while. And then when you realize what reward they may be receiving just from being in that position, folks may want to be in that position. They may want to have that experience to be able to extol and to worship and lift up the name of the Lord, as the four beasts would say, holy, holy, holy. Colossians chapter 1, 16 through 17 tells us this of Jesus. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That means everything is held together by Jesus. Everything works by Jesus. By him, all things continue to work together, are held together. Thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers are groups, different classes of angels, different classes of spirits. When he says, he made things visible, things that you and I can see, and he made things invisible that you and I can't see. And so when we look at him as Lord, we do praise and worship him for those things that we see, but we are missing a whole nother area of his creation that we still don't have a great appreciation for, of the things that are invisible that he made. He is Lord of our world and the world to come and the world that is and the world that was. He's Lord of all of that. He created all things. And they were made for him and were made by him. He created you and he created me. And so that makes me in subjection to him, because I am the one created and I'm not the creator. When a little man says, I have nothing to do with God, he has no idea how much he has to do with God. He has no idea his creator or his beginning. But one day he will. And so God won't force himself on you, but he will lay out an opportunity to everyone. He made us, and we worship him, and we magnify him, we glorify him. And thank you for coming out. Thanks for showing up. Thanks for singing with us these songs to our Lord and our Savior, because, y'all, he is worthy. He is worthy of all of our praise and all of our adoration. He's worthy of our time. He's worthy of any bit of energy that we can expend towards him. He is totally worthy. And all of these things John explained from the vantage point of heaven. Things that he saw. These creatures. These seraphims. Wow. That's just before the throne. So, Father, we thank you for today. This is too wonderful, Lord. This is too wonderful. These truths and these things that you are showing us are too wonderful. How do we handle this? But I still say thank you. I know you say that eyes have not seen, neither has ears heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. But Lord, it says you reveal them to us by your Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yeah, the deep things of God. So continue on, Lord, and we thank you and we pray that you keep us and direct us and guide us through our coming days, weeks, and months, and years of this life. May you continually reign in our lives as Lord, as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.